Let's take our Bibles and look together in Revelation chapter 2. My text is from verse 8 down to verse 11. I've entitled this message, Suffering for Christ's Sake. Here is the example of a church in the first century that was in the city of Smyrna. Smyrna was a city that was approximately 35 miles from Ephesus. It would have been somewhere near what we know today as the Aegean Sea. And certainly the Apostle Paul would have passed this way in his different journeys when he went throughout the regions preaching the gospel. Now I'm just picking out this church of Smyrna. It was one of seven churches to whom this book of Revelation was addressed. These were located in an area that we know today as Asia. We see that in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. There are many today that like to take the book of Revelation and preach it as if it is telling about future events, and they speculate about times and seasons.
Wow.
But in reality, it is a book that was written for the encouragement of the churches in the first century. Jesus Christ had come, lived, died, risen again, and ascended on high. And now from heaven, he is directing his church on earth. So the book of Revelation is really a book concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ and his authority and his direction over his church that he came to redeem. We see that in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1.
Chapter 1,
Notice it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
Ndijo chaizi zienera kushitika posachedwa ndipo poruma mwa mungero wache anazindikitsa izi kwa kapuro wache Yohane.
I hear people talking about the book of Revelations. They put it in the plural, but here it's singular. It's about Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Ndipo kudari muyangane anthu ambiri amanga kuti lini buku la mavumburutso. I need to Bible sibelele jojo. Mungu ayamba vesi yoyambayo. Ikunena kuti ndikukula chivumburutso. Kwenda kuti ndikuvumburutsa Yesu. Simavumburutso kali ayi.
When John was given this word to write at his time, it was a book of prophecy as to what the early church could expect in its day.
Pamene tu Yohane amalandira izi lidali vumburutso la uneneri wazimene mpingo udzakumane nazo utadzabadwa.
But today, as we read it, it is primarily an historic book to show us exactly how God fulfilled his purpose in those churches there in the first century.
Komatu masiku ano ndikamaverenga buku limeneli. Ibuku la mbili limene limafuta lisitionetsera mmene mpingo wa mchipangalo chakale udazunzikira koma kudutsa mmene momwe kukhalabe ndi moyo kutithekawo tiupezerero.
Notice in verse 1, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, but notice, of those things which must shortly come to pass.
Chifoni mukaereka vesi yake ya 1 iyo. Ikunena kuti chii ndi chivumburutso cha Yesu Khristu nde akunena kuti zazimene zidzachitike posachedwa apa kadali kanthawi kochepa kamene zidzachitike munthu ayeneneyo.
But it's primarily the revelation of Jesus Christ to those churches that the Lord had raised up there in the first century.
Kulankhula kwina lidali vumburutso la Yesu Khristu ku mipingo ina isanu ndi iwiri imene.
So as we read the book of Revelation, we're looking for the revelation of Jesus Christ, not about times and seasons and prophecies, but Christ. Just like people miss the very first sentence in verse 1, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. People read right over that, but there is the key to this book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so as we read through the book of Revelation, we are given the key as to what we are to consider, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like we read in verse 4, where he's characterized as the one who is, and which was, and which is to come. That's a revelation of Jesus Christ. So when you consider this was written for the encouragement of the churches of that first century, what greater encouragement than to know that even though Christ was no longer with them on earth, yet he continued to be, he is, and he always has been, he was, and he is the one who is yet to come. And it speaks of the seven spirits. That word seven means complete. It's a reference to the Spirit of God, which is before his throne. It tells us where Christ is, seated upon the throne, and the Spirit of God revealing him now through his word. And unless we have any doubt as to who he is speaking of here, look at verse 5. Even or and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever, ever. Amen. So what we're about to read here concerns a true congregation that the Lord raised up there in Asia, in the town of Smyrna, verse 8, and for whom now this word is given for encouragement. There were actually seven churches that are mentioned here, representative of those churches in that part of the world at that time. They are described in verse 12 as seven golden candlesticks. In other words, placed there by the Lord to be the light of Christ in those regions. And the vision that John was given there in verse 13 of Revelation 1 was of the Lord Jesus Christ himself walking among the candlesticks. It says, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt with paps and with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. So you can see the description, again, the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Verse 13,
But again, getting back to this being an historic book written for the encouragement of those churches in the first century, look at verse 11 of Revelation 1. Again, the revelation of Jesus Christ to these churches. Verse 11 names the churches. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, he's addressing this to John, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And then he names the churches. First of all, Ephesus. And then the one we're going to look at here shortly, Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Seven congregations where back in the first century, God caused the witness of Christ to shine forth. So the Lord had a specific word for each of these congregations. They were all separate congregations, and yet they were united under one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. There wasn't a man who was placed in authority over these congregations like you have today in religious organizations. No, they were individual, independent, autonomous congregations, but Christ was their head. It's like the congregations that the Lord is raising up there in Malawi and that he has raised up here in the United States or wherever else there are those congregations that witness to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're separate where the Lord has put them and yet united under one head, Christ. Now, I could have, had the Lord so directed, begun a study of each one of these congregations, starting with the first one, Ephesus, and going all the way through to Laodicea. And that certainly would be a good study, should the Lord so direct. But the Lord directed my thoughts specifically to this congregation of Smyrna that we find here in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And it was particularly because of how this church, this congregation in Smyrna, was called upon to suffer for Christ's sake. Our Lord told his disciples before he ascended into glory that in the world they would have tribulation. But at the same time, he told them there in John 16:33, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. There's the word of encouragement of Christ to his church. But so let's look in verse 8 here and read to verse 11, and this will be a two-part message. We're going to look at, first of all, the sufferings that the church was enduring for Christ's sake, and then next time we'll look at the word of Christ to them, not to fear, to fear not. Now here in verse 8, it says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. That word angel means messenger. So that would be addressed to the one that was the pastor of the church. And again, remember, the theme of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice how he reveals himself in addressing this church. He says in verse 8, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. When he says the first and the last, it's symbolic of the first letter of the alphabet and the last letter of the alphabet, whereby we say the Alpha and Omega and everything in between. That's who Christ is. When it says there that which was dead, that's speaking of his sacrifice and his shed blood by which those that he has redeemed are washed from their sins. And when it says there, and is alive, the word is, never more to die. He came once to sacrifice himself for the sin of his people, and now ever lives to intercede on their behalf.
Panova ali nimoyo, sebe yose imenele shitika kamozi kudata,
There certainly is no greater encouragement for his church on earth, even for us, these congregations that he has raised up in our day, to know that he ever lives and intercedes for everyone for whom he paid the debt. Now, what's interesting here about the church in Smyrna is that the Lord had nothing but commendation for this congregation. He says in verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. When you read what the Lord has to say to the other six churches in these chapters, the Lord had some correction for each one, but for this one in Smyrna specifically, we find nothing but commendation. And the reason is that this church in Smyrna specifically was facing opposition and persecution, unlike what the others were living. I know that we fear in our flesh persecution, but when God directs persecution of his people, it's for their good and his glory. The Lord was using this persecution specifically for this church in Smyrna, purify that congregation, much like one would take gold and heat it to get rid of the dross. During this time of persecution, these then were being drawn in their hearts to look to Christ alone and not to anything in this flesh. That's a good thing. So that's why he says there in verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Chifake verse 10, akuti usaope zimene utudzabve kuwawa, taona mdelegezi adzakonya ena ainu nyumba ya ndende, kuti mukayesedwe, ndipo mudzakhala nacho chisautso masiku khumi, khala okhulupirika kufikira imfa, ndipo ndidzakupatsa iwe korona wa moyo.
So you can see the encouragement here that the Lord gives to these in their time of suffering. And then verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So this is what I want us to consider, the words of encouragement to a suffering church. It's interesting that the name of the town of Smyrna was named for the word from which we get myrrh. It was an aromatic gum rosin that was bitter to the taste but sweet to the smell, myrrh. It was actually used to embalm the dead in the first century. In fact, in John chapter 19 and verse 39, it was one of the spices that the women prepared to bring to embalm the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not knowing that he would be raising from the dead. Actually, even before the women came, verse 39 says, there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture, there it is, of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Verse 40, then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. So much of the myrrh that they used in that day came from this town called Smyrna. But there's something significant also in the name Smyrna with regard to the church that would face bitter persecution and even death there. Myrrh was a gum rosin that was bitter to the taste, but sweet to the smell. Even so, the church in Smyrna would find the persecution and death to be bitter to the taste, and yet a sweet, fragrant testimony that would flow from that persecution to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this congregation in Smyrna, as I said, it was only 35 miles from Ephesus, yet it was surrounded by idolatry. It was a very modern city at the time. It possessed wide paved roads and beautiful buildings. It would have been like any modern city today, with art and education, philosophy, science. They'd even had a school of medicine, a large library. I know that in our day, in many of the major cities, there is not a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if the Lord has abandoned those cities to themselves. But here was a modern city where God had placed a witness. He had his elect. We don't know how the church began, but we know that the Lord had placed it here and had called out sinners to Christ for his name's sake. But in this city, the Roman government had erected temples to their pagan gods, and they were numerous. In fact, there was even a street of gold. Literally, gold had been laid from the temple that was raised up in honor of a Roman emperor, Tiberius, and his mother, Julia. So, in the midst of all of this, the Lord raised up his congregation, a people that he drew together to worship the true and living Christ. But for this reason, because of where this congregation was located, they faced unusual persecution more than in the other places. But here again, I want to keep coming back to this. This book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. How does Christ reveal himself to this congregation?
komanso musayiwale kumena kuti buku ili ndi buku la chikumbulutso cha Yesu Khristu tikumona Yesu Khristu mene adakhumbulukira kumpingo uwu angakhale udali pakati pa opembedza mafano ndi autsutsa uthenga wabwino.
Well, we saw it in verse 8. He's the first. In other words, before all things, before even creation was formed, when it says he's the first, that means he's before all things. So regardless of whatever oppression and persecution that this congregation faced because of their proximity to these other idolatrous temples, yet Christ was over all. So that's the first way that he reveals himself. None can say they know Christ who do not see him as sovereign over all. But now the second way that he reveals himself, the revelation of Jesus Christ there in verse 8, he says he's the first and then the last. When he says the last, that means that he does continue to exist well beyond even anything that has to do with this present world and universe. Even when it is dissolved throughout eternity, Christ is. That's what his name is, Jehovah. He is. Then the third way that he reveals himself is when he says, which was dead. Now, God did not die, but it was necessary that he come in the flesh and that that body that was given him should be sacrificed on behalf of his people. We can know many true things about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's sovereign and that he is eternal. But if we miss this part, he was dead. He came to lay down his life. We've missed salvation. A lot of people today talking about his second coming who have never understood his first. But then the fourth thing that he reveals concerning himself here is that and is alive. He did not remain dead, but came to life. How is that an encouragement for the church? It means that since he laid down his life to satisfy a holy God, that being raised from the dead, that is proof then that justification before God is in his death and in his life. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, Paul wrote, who was delivered for or because of our offenses, but what? And was raised again for or because of our justification. So let these words of our Lord be a great encouragement to us, even as they were to believers in Smyrna, when we're called upon to suffer for Christ's sake. Well, we're going to stop there for today. And as I said, the next time I want to read and look at these words of encouragement of our Lord not to fear when persecution comes. Verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. We're not to fear those that can hurt or destroy this body, but rather him that has the authority and power to destroy both body and soul in hell. Better to be in Christ than to identify with this world. May the Lord bless his word as we've heard it today. Amen.
Amen. What a comfort, what a beautiful time the Lord has spoken to his people, to his church. For sure, the Lord has brought the message that was of the church. It's our desire, if it will please God, to go into this book of Revelation, starting from verse 1 down to all these churches separately, each one after another. If it will please God, it will be good.